Chapter 1. The Indispensable Church. Philip Jenkins, distinguished professor of history and religious studies at Pennsylvania State University, has called anti-Catholicism the one remaining acceptable prejudice in America. His assessment is difficult to dispute. In our media and popular culture, little is off-limits when it comes to ridiculing or parodying the church. My own students, to the extent that they know anything at all about the church, are typically familiar only with alleged church corruption, of which they heard ceaseless tales of varying credibility from their high school teachers. The story of Catholicism, as far as they know, is one of ignorance, repression, and stagnation. That Western civilization stands indebted to the church for the university system, charitable work, international law, the sciences, important legal principles, and much else besides, has not exactly been impressed upon them with terrific zeal. Western civilization owes far more to the Catholic Church than most people, Catholics included, often realize. The Church, in fact, built Western civilization. Western civilization does not derive entirely from Catholicism, of course. One can scarcely deny the importance of ancient Greece and Rome, or of the various Germanic tribes that succeeded the Roman Empire in the West as formative influences on our civilization. The Church repudiated none of these traditions, and in fact absorbed and learned from the best of them. What is striking, though, is how in popular culture the substantial and essential Catholic contribution has gone relatively unnoticed. No serious Catholic would contend that churchmen were right in every decision they made. While Catholics believe that the Church will maintain the faith in its integrity until the end of time, that spiritual guarantee in no way implies that every action of the popes and the episcopate is beyond reproach. To the contrary, Catholics distinguish between the holiness of the Church as an institution guided by the Holy Spirit and the inevitable sinful nature of men, including the men who serve the Church. Still, recent scholarship has definitively revised in the Church's favor some historical episodes traditionally cited as evidence of the Church's wickedness. For example, we now know that the Inquisition was not nearly as harsh as previously portrayed, and that the number of people brought before it was far smaller, by orders of magnitude, than the exaggerated accounts that were once accepted. This is not merely special pleading on the author's part, but the clearly stated conclusion of the best and most recent scholarship. The point is that in our present cultural milieu, it is easy to forget, or not to learn in the first place, just how much our civilization owes to the Catholic Church. To be sure, most people recognize the influence of the Church in music, art, and architecture. The purpose of this book, however, is to demonstrate that the Church's influence on Western civilization goes well beyond these areas. With the exception of scholars of medieval Europe, most people believe that the 1,000 years prior to the Renaissance were a time of ignorance and intellectual repression, in which vigorous debate and lively intellectual exchange did not occur, and that strict conformity was ruthlessly imposed on whatever scholarly community might be said to have existed. My students can hardly be blamed for believing this. After all, it is only what they were taught in school and in American popular culture. Even some professional authors can still be found giving credence to this view. In the course of some research, I came across a 2001 book called Second Messiah by Christopher Knight and Robert Lomas. These authors paint a picture of the Catholic Church and its influence on Western civilization that could not be more wrong. They get away with it thanks to the strong prejudice against the Middle Ages, as well as an overall lack of knowledge of the period that exists among the public. For example, we read, "The establishment of the Romanized Christian era marked the beginning of the Dark Ages, the period of Western history when the lights went out on all learning and superstition replaced knowledge. It lasted until the power of the Roman Church was undermined by the Reformation." Again, "Everything that was good and proper was despised, and all branches of human achievement were ignored in the name of Jesus Christ." Now, I realize that this is precisely what many readers were themselves taught in school, but there is scarcely a single historian to be found today who would view these comments with anything but amused contempt.